Welcome to New Wine Church, where we believe that we have been set free to love God, to love people, and to love life. Our vision is to see the people of the world living under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, saved, healed, and delivered. Be blessed as you sow the seed of this message into your life.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4. Who knows, we've had some very powerful prophetic ministry over the last few days. Amen. We've experienced some prophetic ministry of a very powerful nature. And I just want to, over the next few minutes, just kind of bring that into some kind of context. Who knows, context is important. Have you ever tried playing basketball on a soccer field? You know, the ball doesn't bounce so good, it's a lot longer between the goals, but it's easy to get it in the net at the end. It just doesn't feel quite right, so I'm not quite right about it. You ever tried to play soccer on a basketball court? You know what I'm saying? You think, well, it's not that far between the goals, but try and get that ball into the net with your feet and see how you get on. And so it's important to bring things into context. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 to 16, it says, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each one of us, say each one of us, turn that person next to say, that's us. There's no one right beside you, turn around and talk to somebody and say, hey, that's us. Each one of us, isn't that amazing? I love Paul because he's not one of them highfalutin, big name preacher kind of guys who thinks it's all about him. He doesn't say, who's given each one of us apostles. No, he's one of us. He's talking to the church and he's saying each one of us. Every one of us. Every one of us. A special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that he says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world, and the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow. So that the whole body, say the whole body, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Hallelujah. He gave gifts, and these are his gifts. Apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. We call it the fivefold ministry. Their purpose is to prepare and equip the rest of the church for the work of the ministry. Who remembers when Elijah had just defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and he said to his servant, he went down into the place of prayer, and it sounds like he had a bit of posture, maybe of his head down between his knees, and he was just praying for God to send the rain that he had promised. And he said to his servant, go and see if there's any sign of rain. And of course his servant went out and he came back, nothing yet, and nothing yet, nothing yet. Several times he went back and forth, and then eventually he came back and he says, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand arising out of the sea. See, the whole purpose of what God was doing with Elijah at this time, and remember what happens after that, of course, He runs under the power of the anointing. He runs faster even than King Ahab's chariot. And then Jezebel, that wicked queen, begins to speak out threatenings against him. And when he hears what she's saying, he runs away. He takes off. And he enters into this place of despair and despondency where he actually cries out to God and says, I'm no good. I'm no better than my fathers. Why don't you just take me out of here? And God begins to speak to him. I'm not going to go into the full thing right now. I've got maybe more to say about that on Wednesday night. But glory to God. We know what happens. Most of us know what happens. If we don't know what happens, go read it for yourself. Find it in 1 Kings, between 17 and chapter 19, or around that place. Hallelujah. And glory to God. God begins to speak to Elijah through the still, small voice on the inside. Begins to say, Elijah, what are you doing here? And then he begins to bring him out of his place of despair, out of his place of despondency. That's what the Word of God does for you. Amen. Before a prophet can speak, the prophet has to hear from God. Amen. Before the prophet can bring a word to encourage others, he has to be encouraged by the Lord. Amen. And that's what the prophetic word comes to do. It comes to encourage you, to build you up, to make you strong on the inside, to remind you that there's a God in heaven who knows about you, who knows your situation, who knows everything about you, and who wants to help you, who wants to minister into that situation, to bring a realization and a fulfillment of the good news of the gospel, hallelujah, that Jesus Christ died to save you, to heal you, and to deliver you. Amen, to provide your every need, and you should be looking happier about that than you are right now about that, hallelujah. But then the Lord says to Elijah, he says to him, Elijah, because Elijah was down there saying, I'm the only one that's left, Lord. It's just me. May as well take me out as well. And he needed some correction in his understanding. That he wasn't alone. That he wasn't the last voice for God in the nation. In fact, the Lord told him later that there were 7,000 who had not bowed their knee to Baal or kissed him. But he says to him, he gives him some instructions. He says, I want you to go and I want you to get back into your prophetic role. And I want you to go and I want you to anoint Hazael as king over Syria. I want you to anoint Jehu as king over Israel. And I want you to anoint Elisha to be prophet in your place. And basically he told him that these three together would remove Jezebel from her place and position of authority over God's people, speaking demonically through her husband, the king, and exercising false authority and control over God's people. I want to say that this evening that cloud, I believe that cloud, the size of a man's hand arising out of the sea, was a prophetic picture. I believe, see, God was instituting something here. He was instituting team ministry. Somebody said amen. Yeah. Almost. I mean, they just said eh. God was instituting team ministry because none of us can get it done alone. You see, Elijah was successful in silencing the false prophetic voices, the false prophets of Baal, but he wasn't able to silence the source. Who knows if you've got weeds in your garden and you take the strimmer out and chop the top off them, it's not 5 minutes before they're back again. You've got to get down there to the root and dig them out by the roots if you're going to beat them blickers. And so Elijah had silenced the voices of the false prophets of Baal, but he hadn't touched the source. And the source spoke and he took off. So all of the hundreds of prophets of Baal that he'd beheaded, he still hadn't silenced the voice. And God says, you're not going to do that alone. Others are going to come and do that. That's the task of the others in this new team that I'm instituting. You see, the prophetic ministry, the Bible says that the foundation of the church is laid through the apostles and the prophets. It says first there's apostles and then there's prophets. If there's never been an apostolic work done, there's nobody for the prophet to prophesy to. And that's basically what Elijah thought. There's nobody here to prophesy. He may as well take me out. There's nobody here to hear what God's saying anyhow, so you may as well just take me out. The prophetic ministry is incomplete without the apostolic ministry. God's first apostles, then prophets. Unless there's an apostolic work being done, there's no room for a prophetic work. And as I said before, that hand arrived. See, God spoke to me about that many years ago, about that hand. And you know what the Bible says? Lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. God's put something in your hand. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, there's something in your hand. There's authority in that hand. But I believe God was given a prophetic picture there of the fivefold ministry. How many fingers you got in your hand? Most of you. If you can't remember, have a wee count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Have you ever tried making do without one finger? Have you ever injured a finger? Or maybe some people lose a finger? You know, your hand is incomplete without one of your fingers. Have you ever tried making do without a thumb? I believe that your thumb, it's like your thumb is the apostolic. You know, your thumb can work with any of the other fingers to pick something up. But it's very difficult to pick something up without your thumb. Some of you are just trying it out, see if I'm telling the truth. Some of you just took it for granted for years. And the prophetic without the apostolic is like having no thumb. The foundations are laid by apostles and prophets. You ever work with concrete? Anybody ever work with concrete? There's three basic ingredients for concrete. Sometimes you can add an extra one, but there's three basic ingredients. You need some kind of hardcore, some kind, we call it shingle around these parts, with that stuff that comes from Moog. You need cement, and you need water. If any of these components are missing, you've got no concrete. You've got nothing to lay your foundation with. Amen. The Lord said to Elijah, he said, you need Hazael, you need Jehu, and you need Elisha. Before the work that I am going to do in the earth can be done, before Jezebel can be removed, before she can be silenced, before we can get this thing back on track. Hallelujah. You take one ingredient out of that mixture and you're snooker. Listen to what it says in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks, say blessed. Yes. Try it out for size, say I'm blessed. I'm blessed. No, you're supposed to say Donnie's blessed. No, you know what I'm saying. Say I'm blessed. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Well, I'm not really sure if that's God or not. That's the scornful. But his delight is in the law, or the word of the Lord, and in his law he meditates. Say he meditates. So I want to bring something to you tonight. You see, it's awesome to sit under prophetic ministry, but there's some people will never benefit from that ministry even though they receive the word. The title of the message tonight is really the missing link. The missing link. Listen to it. The Hebrew word there that's translated meditates is the Hebrew word hagah. It means to reflect. How many people received a prophetic word over the last few days? What have you done with it since? Have you been reflecting? It means to moan, to mutter, to ponder. It means to make a quiet sound such as sighing, to meditate or to contemplate something as one repeats the word. Some of you, as you were leaving, were handed a piece of paper with the word, some of the words on it. Where's the piece of paper now? Do you know where it is? Have you taken it out and looked at it and read it and gone over it? This word, it represents something. We hear meditation, we think of transcendental meditation or something like this. We think of, well, what's that? What do they go? Or whatever, you know. But that can be nothing more than a mental exercise. But in Hebrew, the Hebrew thought to meditate upon the scriptures is to quietly repeat them in a soft, droning sound, while you utterly abandon any outside distractions. The word that you're meditating on becomes your focus. He delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And it says that this man, as a result of this, not just of loving the Lord, not just of liking to sit under the Word and to hear the Word, but taking that Word, meditating upon that Word, drawing that Word into his life and going, letting it go down deep and digesting that Word and working on that Word. Just like a sheep, she'll sit there chewing the grass and then for the next 2 hours she'll just sit there. Sometimes all night, just chewing on that mess. Glory to God. You ever been tempted to open a sheep's mouth and see what it looks like? I think it looks like mint sauce. Oh no, mint sauce and sheep go together in a different way, that's right. Hallelujah. You've been sold many things that was called lamb, I'll tell you. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. There's nothing like mutton, amen, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit. Say this with me. In its season. In its season. Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. What's the way of the righteous? He receives the word. The righteous live one way by faith. It's a righteousness that comes by faith. Amen. When I hear God loves me, I need to take that down the inside of me. I need to bring that close right down there inside and break that. Begin to let that word break down on the inside of me and begin to move around my all of my being and touch every part of my life and every aspect of my life. To touch my thoughts and my emotions and my decision-making processes. They need to be infused with that revelation. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. God is for me. He's not against me. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6, the Lord says to Joshua after Moses' death, and the mantle has come now down to Joshua, he says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Why is he saying that? Because he knows that Joshua has problems with that. He keeps saying it over and repeating it over and over again because he knows that Joshua obviously has a tendency to doubt himself, to doubt his place in God's plan. Just about like about everybody else. Just like you, just like me. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. From where? From your mouth. See, in Romans chapter 10 it says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Those who meditate or truly meditate on the word, it's not just in their heart, it's in their mouths. They know not just how to believe the word in their heart, they know how to speak it out of their mouths. It's the words that you speak that are powerful, not the words that you believe. It's the words that you speak that are powerful. It's the words that you speak that are fruit bearing. Not the words that you just believe. Oh, I believe. I've heard people say, I believe, and they're not a bit of fruit. Because they're missing something. They'll say amen to everything that you say out of the Word of God, and they say, oh, I believe, but they never take it to another level. It never gets from their heart, out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, the mouth speaks. If you want to experience the salvation of God, if you want to experience the healing power of God, if you want to experience the delivering power of God, you've got to speak. I want to tell you, God could not have created the earth, the heavens and the earth, if he had not spoken. It was in his heart to do it, but nothing happened until he spoke. And there's many things tonight that may be in your heart, but nothing's going to happen until you learn to speak. No persecution comes against you for what you believe in your heart. Persecution comes against you for what you speak out of your mouth. That's when the flag appears. Some people hear the word, and I tell you, I'm sure they believed it, but it's never going to come out of their mouth until they really, truly begin to understand and bring that word into context in their lives. The purpose of that word. The outworking of that word. Only be strong and very courageous. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Speaking it over and over again. That you may observe. He says, if you will do that, then you will do according to all that is written in it. You're not accountable necessarily to what you believe in your heart. You're accountable to what you speak out of your mouth. Come on, somebody help me here. I cannot hold you accountable for what you secretly believe in your heart, but I can hold you accountable for what you speak out of your mouth. For then you will make your way prosperous. When you speak it out of your mouth, then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of what? Do not be afraid to speak out my word. To bring my word to my people. To bring my word to my enemies. Nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord gave me this many, many years ago. He gave me a very simple teaching that I've brought in different ways over the years. See, who received a prophetic word? You know what you received? Information. That's all. I'm not belittling it in any way, don't get me wrong, but that's all you received, information. Prophetic information, but information. You have a choice. Just because you received information doesn't mean that information will ever result in anything. You didn't phone up the psychic hotline. You showed up in church and God spoke to you and He provided you with information, heavenly information, prophetic information, but still it's only information and it will remain as information. And information is designed. See, Jesus said that the Word of God is like the seed of God. And every seed in the natural contains genetic information that will cause that seed, if it is planted in the right environment, to produce fruit. And it's exactly the same with the Word of God. The Word of God is the seed of God. It contains the DNA of God. The divine nature of the Almighty is contained within the Word. But unless that word is planted and nurtured and maintained and protected and watered and meditated upon, then the genetic information within that seed will never produce anything. You know, they went in when they discovered the pyramids, and they went in, excavations and they found seed in there, corn. Seed that looked different from any corn seed that existed today, and they took it out and they planted it, and up came corn, the likes of which they hadn't seen for thousands of years. The seed retained the information, but until it was taken out and planted, in the right environment, it could produce nothing. Some people take the seed of God's word and they try and get it to produce in the wrong environment, and it'll never produce. Hallelujah. See, information, the divine information that you receive must become your meditation. This is true of everything that's in this word. Hallelujah. You want this word to work for you? This book contains information that can change every circumstance that you face in your life. This is God's manual for living. The answer to every question is contained within the words of this book. Hallelujah. Amen. God spoke these words. Men wrote them down, hallelujah, and they've come down to us right now, and they are powerful. You're as powerful as any seed, but that seed must be taken and it must be sown in the right environment if it's going to produce fruit. The answer to every question, the solution to every problem that you face is contained here in this word in seed form. In seed form. You must take that seed. You must plant it, and you must plant it deep enough for it to be protected. Then you begin the meditation process, and the seed begins to break loose on the inside of you, break forth. Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat goes into the ground and dies, it can produce nothing. It abides alone. The seed has to give up its identity as a seed. Some people say, we have great reverence for the word of God. Well, you've got a bag of seed in your hand. Well, reverence the seed if you like. But you don't understand that seed is designed to produce fruit. To reveal the glory of God that's contained within that seed. We believe every word that it says. Well, you need to do more than believe it. We believe every word it says, but we only speak certain words. Somebody help me. I'm trying to help you so we can help each other. So we can get the job done. There's Isaiahs and Jehus and Elishas in here tonight, glory to God. We can get it done together. There's gifts of God in here that God wants to bring into fulfillment. And we can get the job done together. We can see this island, glory to God, swept with the glory. Souls swept into the kingdom of God. God's sick bodies healed. Oppressed people delivered and set free. We can see God glorified, but we can only do it together, team. But you've got to take this information, you've got to make it your meditation, because the power of God is revealed when we get revelation. And you cannot. That's, and the missing link, I believe, between information and revelation is meditation. Some people try and see, but when I'm bringing to you tonight revelation that I've received from meditation upon the information. But I can't bring to you revelation tonight. I can only bring to you, it's my revelation, but it's still just information to you. Is that simple enough? But if God wants to make this information I'm sharing with you, which is my revelation, He wants to bring, to give you this information so it can become your revelation. You see, Hazael couldn't be king of Syria until Elijah came and anointed him. Jehu could not become king of Israel until Elijah came and anointed him. Elisha could not become Elijah's successor until Elijah came and anointed him. This information can never become revelation for you until it becomes your meditation. Until you're willing to receive this revelation as divine information charged with the DNA of God. Because God's ultimate purpose and plan is transformation. You see, some people get revelation and they stop there. And they're very proud of their revelation. And they're happy to sit you down and share their revelation with you over and over and over and over again. And expect you to pat them on the back or buy their CDs or something. Or buy their books. Because they have such revelation. Well, thank God for that. I'm not knocking that per se. I'm just saying, glory to God. You take that, even when you take that information that's from their revelation and it becomes your revelation, it's still not enough. That revelation must become your application. Hallelujah. There's many people have great revelation that have done nothing with it. Done nothing with it. Because when you begin to apply that revelation, when you begin to take the revelation you've received from God's Word, and you begin to speak it out, you begin to apply it to situations. I laid hands on two sick people and they got sicker. So you're going to stop? You're going to quit? I've been putting hanging baskets up outside our house for years, and glory to God, every last one of them dies within 2 months, so I'm still doing it! I'm still believing. Amen. Glory to God. We don't have green fingers. We have anointed fingers. We'll heal the sick, kill plants, amen. Somebody blessed Katrina with one of these wee beautiful miniature roses once, and she loved that. She said, oh, this is so beautiful. Oh, I'm going to keep this. I'm going to take such good care of this. So she went out and she bought a bottle of baby bio, didn't read the instructions, and poured half a bottle in the thing. Killed the poor thing with kindness, just like that. I mean, it died happy, but it died all the same. If roses could smile, it smiled briefly and died. That rose just went, oh, hallelujah, bump. But just went, oh, it was off. That was the end of that. Glory to God. Couldn't understand what she'd done till I read the bottle. She had put her glasses on. I read the bottle, what it said. Always read the instructions. Amen. Glory to God. He said, he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, and the apostle comes, and you know what he shares with you? Apostolic information. If you want to see an apostolic work accomplished in your life and in your setting, then you must take the apostolic information and make it your meditation until it breaks loose as revelation, and then take that revelation and make it your application, and it will guarantee result in transformation. Every time. Supernatural transformation. Metamorphosis. Change from one forum to another. From failure to success. From death to life. From sickness to health. From oppression to freedom. When the prophet comes, as I said, he shares with you prophetic information, but it's still only information. It must become your meditation until it breaks loose in your life as revelation. People have said to me, well, that's what I don't know what this means. I said, so what are you going to do with it? Discard it? Well, are you going to keep meditating on it? Till the Spirit of the Lord brings forth what it really means. Brings forth the revelation. I'm using this as an example because we've had our ministry over the last few days. But this is true of everything. All ministry. This is true of everything that the Lord seeks to do among His people, because He wants us to be the Hazaels and the Jehus and the Elishas that see Jezebel silence once and for all. See God's kingdom come and His will done on the earth. See all false authority and demonic control and witchcraft. You know that witchcraft's alive and kicking in the church. You might not see anyone with a pokey hat or anything else, glory to God, but witchcraft, simply put, is domination, intimidation and manipulation. Control. We believe every word, but there's some words you can't speak in here. Domination says, we are in charge here. We tell you what you can say and what you can't say. Come on, son. That's in the church. Intimidation says, and if you say it, we'll sort you out. We'll discipline you. Manipulation says, if you keep on saying it, we'll kick you out of church. Well, we believe every word, but we don't speak some of them. That's nothing but witchcraft. It's nothing but witchcraft. And we need the Hazaels and the Jehus and the Elishas to arise. Glory to God, and begin to demolish that mess. And bring the people of God out into the freedom that Christ died to set them free and deliver them into. Hallelujah. Can everybody shout him? This is real stuff, by the way. The evangelist comes. You know what he shares with? The information. That's all you're going to do with that information. The evangelist doesn't just come to get a few folks saved. The evangelist comes to equip you. When the evangelist comes into town, glory to God, you should be so fired up to reach the lost by the time he leaves. It shouldn't be, oh, the evangelist came and 100 people got saved. Well, whoopee, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. No, you should be so fired up about evangelism after he leaves that you can't wait to get out back into work on Monday morning and tell everybody there what you've been afraid to tell them for the last 6 months. Come on, that's the true role and function of an evangelist. It's ridiculous that people only get saved when an evangelist shows up. When you go to work on a Sunday morning after being under the ministry of the evangelist, evangelism should be using out of every pore of you. If it's true, evangelistic ministry. Pastoral information. When the pastoral ministry shows up, he comes and he shares information. Information. You make that information your meditation. So it's, you know, I've seen it sometimes in functioning in that role as a pastor from time to time, and people will come and say, oh, I need help, you know, and they sit down and you begin to share with them what the Word of God says, and say, I never saw a sheep yet that turned around to the shepherd and said, I don't want to go into that field, I want to go into that one. And unless I can go into that one, I ain't moving. Well, he may have tried it, but he didn't get away with it. Come on! Glory to God! Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Do you want to know if you're a sheep? Well, can you hear what the Word of God says? Because if you can't hear what the Word of God says, I mean, if they don't believe it's the Word of God, let them read it. And say, that's what it says, black and white. Teach and Donnie, black and white. I love it when we get to minister together because everything's in black and white.
Yeah.
No gray area. No fluffy shades of gray right here, bro. I love it. I don't like that kind of teaching stuff, you know, it's just boring. He's come to share information with you. It might come some teachers, you know, they just stand behind it. They never move, you know, like Gloria Coleman, they call her the cameraman's dream. Never moves, just stands there and brings forth wisdom. That's just powerful. She took that information that she shared and you made it your meditation until it broke forth as revelation and you apply it in your life, you're guaranteed transformation. But when I first came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, first came into a realization that there was more outside of the Presbyterian box that I didn't even know was there. God spoke to me through a man. In fact, it was before I came out, actually. This man came, he was an old Pentecostal pioneer in this nation way back in the early 1900s. He was an old man by then, way up in his, probably 90 by then, I think he was. He came in one day. I was in my mother's house, and he'd come to minister to my mother. He was visiting Ireland, and I was just sitting in the corner. I'd just come in from work, and he turned around and he said, God's going to use you in the healing ministry. And he turned back and prayed for my Lord again. And I went down on the inside of me. Information. Prophetic information. I asked the Lord the other day, I've asked him many times, I've maybe seen him share this before. I said, Lord, what about this healing ministry? He said, do you know how many people haven't died because of the teaching you've been bringing over the years? That's what he said. He said, do you know how many people haven't died because of the teaching you've been faithfully bringing over the years? That they are not the sick trying to get healed, but they are the healed with power and authority in Jesus' name to resist sickness because some of them took that information and they let it become their meditation. They heard it often enough, glory to God, they let it become their meditation until it broke forth as revelation and began to impact every part of their life, and they're not dead today because of that. Hallelujah. He said, there's your healing ministry.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
I can get excited.
Bring it on.
Hallelujah. Jesus says the sower sows the seed. The preacher preaches the word. The word is the seed that contains the genetic information, and that seed will produce fruit if it's planted in the correct environment. You try to take that seed and plant it in the wrong environment, you take that seed and just chuck it on the ground, a bird's going to come and eat it before it can get in. If you put it in the wrong kind of, if you put it in dry ground where you've got to sort of break through it with a hammer trying to create a wee hole, a wee divot somewhere, go to the garden, stick that seed in and try and cover it up with dust, that seed's doing nothing. You've got to take that seed, that word, and put it in the right environment, down deep on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Let it come up and begin become the fruit of your lips. Hallelujah. Begin to speak it out. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm the righteous. You wicked sinner. Hey, sorry, friend. You can't call me that anymore. What do you mean you can't call me? I can't call you that. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. Well, you may be. You can choose that if you like. I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm the righteous because that's what God says about me. You still sin? I said, I might sin, but I'm not a sinner. God's word says I'm righteous now. If you're saying, you know why you can't receive that? Because it's information, and if it doesn't get past your head will, can't handle it. But you let that word go down into here, and all of a sudden, after a while, you chew on it, and you think, wait a minute. And it begins to release the DNA of God, and it begins to release the wisdom of God, and it becomes revelation to you. See, as information, your mind bats that off. Especially your religiously programmed mind can't receive that. Because it doesn't make any sense. Since when did God make any sense to the world? We're not sinners trying to get righteous. We don't have an answer to sinner anymore. Hallelujah. You can call sinner all your life. I can ask him. You start calling for the righteous, he'll be there. Hallelujah. Am I alone? am I having an Elijah moment? Oh well, Lord, just be this life. Might as well take care of you right there. Just a wee reminder, folks. Just a wee aside. It's good news. That's good news for people who've been called sinners. So even since they got born again, they've been sinning. And people have been telling you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. Did it do you a lot of good? No, it didn't do you any good. Because it wasn't true, it wasn't right, it was wrong, it was false information. Mm-hmm. I can tell you much more, but I don't want to pour half a bottle of baby dye over your own window. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That thing's going to put you as well. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, I'll just try to finish this night. Where do we go? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't ever try and step a skip and skip a step. Skip a skip. Never try and skip a step. I'm going to share with you then. Remember, let somebody help you. Information. Thank you, Cheryl. Information. Meditation. Revelation. Application. Transformation. Information. The prophet shares with you information. The apostle shares with you information. The evangelist shares with you information. The pastor shares with you information. The teacher shares with you information. But it must become your meditation so that it becomes revelation. And then revelation, when it's applied to the situations and the circumstances of your life, will always result in supernatural transformations. But you cannot skip a step where you will end up in complete disappointment. Ever been there? Mm-hmm. That didn't work. What did you try and do? I took your information and I tried to make it a revelation. Did you really? Did you make it your meditation first?
No.
No. Why not? Why not? Isn't what it says in Galatians chapter 6? I tell you, if you end up in disappointment, you're missing your divine appointment. That's what disappointment is. It's missing your divine appointment. It's missing your appointment with God. It's missing your appointment, your alignment with the throne of God, because He's always there waiting for you to show up in alignment with Him. And as soon as you do, boom, what's in heaven just drops into your life. And when what's in heaven drops into your life, there's going to be a transformation. Hallelujah. Which you could never have done on your own. It's done with the kingdom of God showing up in your life. Hallelujah. You're in the wrong place to receive. Murmuring, grumbling, complaining always ends in death. But just simply believe in God. Meditate on His Word. Keep in tune on it till the life that's in it begins to permeate your being, begins to come out of your mouth, begins to create a fruitful environment around you. Listen to what it says. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 to 9. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh. Some people take the information and try to sow it to the flesh. They shall of the flesh reap corruption and death, but he who sows to the Spirit Remember that concrete? You can have hardcore and cement. You don't have any water. You've got nothing you can work with. Amen. Nothing you can lay a foundation with. You add the water to that. Hallelujah. You sow the Spirit, glory to God, to the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You sow to the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary. Chewing on that cup. Let us not grow weary while meditating upon that word. Let the life that's in it, while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. For when? For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If we do not give up. If we do not quit. You just got to get it down the inside you. What God said is what God will do. Somebody help me tonight. What God says is what God will do. Let's get a bit more into this. What God says is what God will do. Just one more time. What God says is what God will do. Thank you, Father. That's the absolute truth. We expect, Lord, we expect 100% to see you come through on every word that you have spoken. And Father, we believe that you are the God of heaven. We believe that you are the God of all glory. And we believe that tonight you are our Heavenly Father, Lord, and that you are delighted in giving good gifts to your children, that every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And we are these lights. We are the lights of the world tonight. And we believe that the goods and perfect gifts of heaven are flowing to us, and they will flow to us, and they will equip us and prepare us, and they will flow through us until everything that you have said comes to pass for your glory. For yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever. Amen.